For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's African-American lieutenant governor walks away in protest over lawmakers' traditional recognition of a Confederate general. Tolls for heavy trucks may be coming to Interstate 81. And WMRA's Christopher Clymer-Kurtz measures the balance between the rights of panhandlers and the need for public safety. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, January 23rd.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Yesterday, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax protested the Virginia Senate's adjournment in memory of Confederate General Thomas Stonewall Jackson. The Democrat stepped off the dais where he presides Monday when Republican Senator Emmett Hanger, who represents parts of the Shenandoah Valley, started a speech about Jackson. Fairfax, the second African-American to serve in his role, said the personal decision to step away was meant to honor his family. Fairfax was going to do the same last Friday after learning about plans honoring Confederate General Robert E. Lee, whose birthday is a state holiday. In the mid-1980s, Virginia began marking Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday the same as the traditional Lee Jackson Day. It became Lee Jackson King Day. In 2000, Governor Jim Gilmore called for separating them. This year, Virginia marked Lee Jackson Day, January 12th, and MLK Day, January 15th. Hanger said lawmakers have adjourned on Jackson's birthday since his death. Also, State Senator Mark Obenshain has introduced a bill that would impose tolls for heavy commercial vehicles on Interstate 81. The news leader in Stanton reports that the Harrisonburg Republican introduced the bill last week. It calls for a feasibility study of using truck tolls to fund improvements to I-81, which is one of the most heavily traveled highways in the eastern U.S. In a press release, Obenshain said the proposal would limit the effect on local traffic and the diversion of truck traffic from the interstate. The release also noted that similar programs have passed in states such as Kansas and Rhode Island, which place tolls on heavy vehicles. Those tolls have been used to provide a stable source of funding for transportation infrastructure, the release said. Also in the General Assembly, a House Education Subcommittee advanced one dual enrollment bill on Monday while killing others from partner station WCVE in Richmond. Megan Pauley reports.
Republican Delegate Steve Landis's bill advanced to the House Appropriations Committee. Landis says a universal standard is needed when it comes to determining how dual enrollment credits transfer from high school to college.
For both advanced placement and dual enrollment, what we've heard from parents is, okay, I took this class. Some colleges would give it one credit towards their freshman year. Others would say, we'll take and apply three credits like any other class that some student would take.
Republican Delegate Rob Bell's bill that would have extended dual enrollment benefits to homeschooled students failed to report from the subcommittee. Megan Pauley, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
Confusion over split precincts led to a meltdown in Fredericksburg last year when dozens of voters were given the wrong ballot. Now some lawmakers are hoping for a fix. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
When most voters walk into their home precincts, they're handed a ballot that has candidates for one House seat. But some precincts are split in a way where some voters are supposed to receive one ballot while others receive another. That led to massive confusion last year in Fredericksburg, which is why Delegate Vivian Watts wants to outlaw split precincts.
Four of my 20 precincts are split. One of them is particularly impossible to figure out where that line is. How in the world are people going to hold me accountable as an elected official if they don't even know who represents them?
Getting rid of split precincts might not be as easy as it sounds, says Delegate Chris Jones. He led the map-making process in the House during the last redistricting.
Congress requires when you draw the districts, they are almost exactly the same population. That's law. I believe you should try to limit the number of split precincts that exist, but is it impractical to think that you could eliminate them because of how you have to draw the congressional lines?
Republicans say split precincts are needed to follow the law. Democrats say it's a level of gerrymandering that does more harm than good. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
The Senate Courts of Justice Committee has advanced a bill that would allow a minor crime victim or a witness to a crime to have a service dog present during their court testimony. Republican Senator Ryan McDougall of Hanover is the bill's patron.
Being able to have a service dog present while they're going through that emotional process is very helpful for them to be able to provide that testimony and feel secure as they're doing so.
Service dogs are allowed in certain courtrooms in Virginia, although some localities have prohibitions against them. The bill passed committee 9-4 and now goes to the Senate floor. Finally, maybe you've been seeing more of them lately. Panhandlers out asking for money from drivers stopped at red lights in Harrisonburg, Charlottesville, elsewhere. They often stand on medians at busy intersections, and they embody an intersection of First Amendment rights, public safety, and social isolation, as WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz reports.
Harold Walker said that when he moved to Harrisonburg in 2002, something made him want to stay here.
I fell in love with the mountains and all that stuff.
He's originally from near Philadelphia and came here to a residential transitional facility after serving time.
I looked out the window, and all I saw was like layers of mountains, and I said, oh man, this is where I need to be.
Walker said he's been homeless since 2008. I found him on the East Market Street median at the intersection with Burgess Road. It's just off Interstate 81, with the new Olive Garden plus other restaurants, a gas station, and lots of shopping plazas nearby, where Market Street is six busy lanes. It's one of the busiest corners in Harrisonburg. Like the woman on the opposite median, she didn't want to go on record, Walker was flying a sign, panhandling.
I get enough for, like, a room, and sometimes I get enough for eat. You know, I smoke cigarettes, so I make a choice. Either I smoke or I eat, or just go ahead and get a room and get out of the cold at night.
What's the response from people here?
Some people are being generous, some give us, and we have the ones that ride past and say, get a job, but they don't understand. I'm 61 years old. I'm not saying that I can't work, but I got a lot of mental issues and stuff, and I just deal with it day by day. Whatever the Lord blessed me with, that's what I go with.
Copy. Who's en route to the panhandling?
It's definitely grown, so to speak. I don't want to say gotten out of hand, but, you know, they're out there a whole lot more than they ever once were.
Ron Howard is a Harrisonburg Police Department sergeant. As things stand now in the city, the police can only remove a panhandler when there's a problem. For example, if one goes out into traffic.
1770 East Market Street, panhandling in progress. A white male in a toboggan for the
search. Yes. Yep. We can't really do anything from the enforcement aspect as long as they're abiding by staying out of the roadway, not being belligerent and violent, or, you know, threatening to do harm to somebody or whatnot. At face value, what they're doing, crazy as it may seem, it's legal.
In fact, court rulings in recent years have affirmed that panhandling is protected free speech that can be limited only to achieve what Harrisonburg attorney Chris Brown calls legitimate government interests, such as public safety.
You can't just use, in effect, common sense and say a person standing in the median soliciting funds or handing out political flyers or something like that is going to interfere with traffic. I think the courts understand that, but you still have to produce some evidence that that's happening. And then you have to tailor your ordinance very narrowly. You can't have an ordinance in the city that says no solicitation in the roadway. You really have to figure out where is it a danger and where is that legitimate government interest of protecting pedestrians, protecting traffic, where does that come into play?
Brown said the city is working on an ordinance that will prohibit median activities, including panhandling, at certain intersections, probably the one where I talked to Harold Walker, plus where Martin Luther King Jr. Way crosses South Main Street. He also said that panhandling is not just a Harrisonburg problem, even though he's heard that people think it suddenly is.
This is something that everyone around the state is dealing with.
That includes Charlottesville, defendant in one of those free speech court rulings. Currently, solicitation is restricted at four intersections and in certain areas on the downtown mall. Stephen Hitchcock is the executive director of The Haven, a multi-resource day shelter in Charlottesville for homeless people.
In every community that I've either worked in or visited, people say, like, we're a magnet for the homeless.
He said that's not generally the case, although small cities such as Charlottesville and Harrisonburg both might draw people in need of services from surrounding counties. He also doesn't buy the notion that flying signs is a sort of industry.
I hear from people how they see folks like pull in like nice cars and park somewhere and get out and start flying signs. That's an easy way to think. I don't think that there's a van that is busing people in to fly signs, make money, and then picking them up and, like, you know, that's an industry. I don't think that's true.
Panhandling is a result of disconnection and isolation, he said. If someone was completely integrated into the social fabric of their community with a supportive network, they wouldn't need to be exposing themselves to the elements, to the public eye, asking for money. Back at that busy Harrisonburg intersection, Harold Walker knows a potential ordinance could be numbering his days on that median. When it gets cold, he said he can stay with friends, but panhandling allows him some measure of independence.
I'm going to do what it takes to do for me to not put a burden on them so much, you know?
For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer-Kurtz.
You'll find much more information on this story, including an earlier report by WMRA's Jordy Yeager at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.